All right, I'm going to come up from behind to check on this every single one.
Okay.
Everybody ready? Rachel.
Good evening. What a pleasure to see such a full house this evening. It is the regular board meeting of the Kaniutio Board of Trustees. It is February the 21st, 2012. Looks like it's 6:03 p.m. And Tony, could you please call the roll?
Mrs. Cousins?
Here.
Mr. Cornell?
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Here.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Present.
Mrs. Searles?
Here. And who do we have here? I'm looking around. Gustavo, could you lead us in the pledge tonight? Thank you. Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. Thank you very much. Ms. Mendoza, would you be so kind as to read our mission statement this evening?
Be happy to. Kaniutio ISD will provide a quality education to assure that all students graduate on time, are prepared for higher education, or are workforce ready.
Thank you very much. And looks like we've got a bunch of them here with us this evening that are all of those things. Tony, could you take us to the next agenda item, please?
Item 2 is Board Honors, Mr. Valdez.
Board President Searles, members of the board, Dr. Murphy, could you please join me down here at the set of the ESPU program? Today with something we're all becoming way too familiar with, champions. Not that we mind, of course, but month after month, the students of the Kaniutio School District are performing at levels worthy of praise, honors, and yes, trophies. The Atlanta Middle School 8th grade football team this year is proof positive. In November, they played and won the city championship by defeating the Nolan Richardson Middle School Jaguars by a score of 30-20. What's even better, the Eagles did it in the home did it at home on the orange and blue field of Kaniutio's coach Julius and Irene Lowenberg Eagles Stadium. Atlanta is a force to be reckoned with in athletics and academics. Let's please welcome the players that made it all happen, as well as their coaches, Raul Ramos and Enrique Castaños. Conference championships that Atlanta won this year.
Put them in front, okay. Yeah.
city champions.
By participating, being recognized in the annual Red Ribbon Poster Contest organized by the Office of our Congressman in Vista Reyes. Here with us, we have a student from Garcia Elementary that received one of these recognitions. Dean Velasquez, please come up and be recognized by the board. Were recognized by the Congressman's office but could not be here with us tonight. Adriana Gonzalez and Angelina Ashley Martinez. Along with Ms. Manson, the principal, we also have a representative from the Congressman's office here. Could Sidney Gonzalez from the Congressman's office please come up and greet the board as well? They came with certificates and gifts for two students who excel in the company's e-card contest. The contest taps into the creativity of students and winners have their work featured in documented cards sent by Arsenal Middle to clients and people all over the world. This year, Dunthea had two regional winners. Mary J. Galvan, a student at Bill Childress Elementary, depicted a fun scene of children playing in a wonderful green field, enjoying the sun and the warm weather of El Paso. And Genesis Martinez, a student at Deanna Davenport Elementary, won for her vibrant work titled My Dream of a Happy World. It features the globe and the flags of many countries around the world. Could Mary Jane and Genesis please come up and be recognized by the board? Genesis Dexter from Arsenal Middle and one of our community members is recognizing the students with a framed artwork, gift certificate, and materials to help them further their art education. Fellow teachers, that you would be willing to bicycle his way from Cantillo, California, of where he grew up. He never imagined that statement would capture the imagination of an entire community. After some convincing and months of training, of course, Acosta made a deal with the students of CHS. Sign a pledge stating that you will do your best to master the task and STAR test, and you will be willing to bike 1 kilometer between El Paso and Santa Monica, California. In the end, more than 1,200 pledges were signed, enough to get him to California on a bike over the winter break. So on December 26th, he embarked on what would be a 900-mile trek that took 9 days to complete. Mr. Acosta's daily blog kept his students and all of El Paso thanks to great media coverage on CISD's Facebook page, informed of his whereabouts. Mr. Acosta, could you please come up and greet the Board of Trustees? Times and later this week, the front page of our admissions newsletter as well.
Did you gain or lose any pounds? What?
That's what we all want to know.
Mr. Acosta is certainly an inspiration to all of us, and we hope that translates to higher test score later this year. Board members, Dr. Murphy, this concludes board honors for this one.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to do that.
What do you say, follow us?
Yeah.
Board members, we're being told that one of the Garcia Elementary girls just got here. So I'm going to have her come up here and just greet you guys up there as well and take a couple of pictures.
Okay. Let's just, we can go back down. Back.
Sure.
Congratulations.
She wants the picture now.
Thank you, school board members.
Thank you very much.
They all are. That's right. Here's the floating pink pin. Yes. Tony, I believe that takes us to...
Item 3, superintendent's comments.
President Searles, board members, audience, what a wonderful time to greet everyone, and we certainly congratulate everyone. And Mr. Costa, thank you for representing. That was just fantastic. And the assembly that we have with the congressman, listening to you share your story, thank you for that inspiration. And I agree with Gustavo. I think it truly will make a difference with the kids. It gives them one more thing to think about when they're sitting there taking that exam. So thank you very much. President and board members and audience, just want to point out two things. Another really great award that will be coming to the board later is Deanna Davenport's High Flying Award, which they will receive on March 5th in Savannah, Georgia. They're one of only six schools in the United States that have been chosen to win this award, and the only school west of the Mississippi. All the other schools are back east. For their excellent work with at-risk students and test scores and gains, a really, really fantastic opportunity that they're having. I am going to go over there with Deanna Davenport and receive that national award, and we certainly will have them back. But we want to publicly thank Ms. Strobeck, the principal, and all the great teachers. I've recently finished a two-day visit, two solid days at Davenport, and I can tell you they work very hard with those kids and do a fantastic job. So that's going to be great for them to win that national award. The other thing, just want to let you know that we are in the middle of the goal setting with the July start date with our fiscal year. We're having to start goal setting a little earlier than we have in the past. Leadership has come up and picked about 30 things that they want to look at, and we're having DAC do it next week, and we'll be bringing that all to you to the board for your review and your comments. But not only are we doing great things this year, but we're already preparing for next year. Just want to let you know that. Thank you, President.
Thank you very much, Dr. Murphy. And Tony?
Item 4 is open forum, and we don't have anyone signed up this evening. Next is item 5, the consent agenda, which administration recommends approval of the consent agenda as presented.
Do I have a motion?
I
Chair, I move at this time to approve the consent agenda.
And I'll second that.
Motion made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Would anyone like to take anything off to review it? I would personally like to just note that under P, which is the update 91, that at our last meeting, I believe it was a committee meeting, I asked that CV Local have new wording, and that will be coming back to us in March, I believe.
Yes, ma'am.
So just for point of knowledge there. Okay, Mr. Rodriguez.
When looking at it the other day, one of my questions, even part of the leadership program that I've been going to, and some of the school sites we've been visiting, have the smart boards, and it's agenda, the owl purchase of six smart boards. And my thing is, I would like to look at during the budget, if we could have more discussion and possibly doing that at certain grade levels where that impacts or and then there's more, I think we need to focus more on some of the technology because we had some of these kids in pre-K and kindergarten, you know, messing around with iPads and they had their own blogs. And so, you know, we need to look at more resources for our technology here.
I can tell you that when we were setting goals with leadership, the number one goal that leadership picked individually on their own as we did it as separate activities was technology. And that is a feeling across the entire district that we need to really push forward in that area. We do have a lot of smart boards already, but we're not saturated, and we certainly have room to grow in that area.
Maybe, Dr. Murphy, we could get a report how many we have, how many we need.
Yes,
would
ma'am.
That be helpful, Mr. Rodriguez?
Yeah, I can start generating.
We don't have any type of tablets for our kids, right?
No, we do not have tablets except in just small pockets, very small, nothing significant.
It was kind of neat to even see, like, kindergartners having their own blog, and the way the teacher would interact was, okay, whether it was a sentence structure or something, okay, write it in your blog so that way we could discuss it, and then, it was kind of neat, and I see a lot more districts, and those are more economically disadvantaged than That's all I have for you.
Thank you. Anyone else have anything?
I have one.
Yes, Ms. Mendoza.
Page 16, I just want to, Dr. Murphy, commend the campuses on their attendance with Davenport always leading the way. I mean, that's outstanding.
Yes, ma'am. Our first semester attendance is a significant rise in attendance from last year's first semester. And we are going to be, we're actually just getting that data, just sort of like the last few days, and we are going to be getting even a press release out because our attendance is way up. It's going to translate not only into student seat time and more learning, but also more dollars for the district.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's wonderful. They do such a good job, those campuses, at making sure those kids.
And Mr. Fry is here from the high school, and you know, attendance at the high school is always a difficult thing, and he's way up. He had much better attendance first semester this year than he did last year, so that's really great.
It's nice kids want to come to school in Kenyatta. Thank you, Mrs. Mendoza. Anybody else with that, Tony?
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Item 6A is a special audit report of Kenyatta High School and Vendor Team Express related to procurement activities with discussion and possible action. Mr. Fry, Ms. Hidalgo, Mrs. Aguirre, and Mr. Blackwood.
And this will be an open? Okay. Okay.
President's rules, board members, Dr. Murphy. And just before we get to this agenda item, you'll recall, I want to say it was at, I believe, the last board, regular board meeting. We had a brief synopsis and discussion about the audit. We had held off on the specific discussion and any really in-depth questions from the board until Ms. Hidalgo had finished her final report, which we now have. We are going to review the summary and the report in a summary fashion. And you all are free to answer, to ask any questions that you can, but I want to caution you not to discuss individuals by name, personnel decisions, potential discipline. If there are issues like that that happen to come up, we can discuss that in closed session. It's on the agenda. It has an open session item, but we can all move into closed session if we need to. I don't know that we will need to, so I'll let Ms. Kizabu go ahead and give the summary of the report. If any questions arise that we believe we need to take a closed session, we'll make a note of them and discuss them later.
Thank you very much, Ms. Adongo.
Board President, board members, Dr. Murphy. I, as Mr. Blanco mentioned, I really just want to give you a brief summary of the results of the audit that my office was asked to conduct back in December in regard to some of the procurement compliance issues between high school staff and an athletic vendor supply named Team Express. And I can share with you that in the course of that particular audit, had a number of conversations with multiple people at the vendor, the owner, their accountant, and the sales representative to our high school. Additional conversations with Mr. Fry, coaching staff, and the financial services staff as well, really just to kind of put it all together. And as best we could get to the determination as to whether or not there was any intentional misconduct. Based on the results of the audit, it is the opinion of Internal Audit Office that there does not appear to be any intentional misconduct on the part of CISD employees. In a nutshell, based on the conversations that we had with the vendor by their own admission basically said they interpreted certain conversations with CHS coaching staff coupled with some of the underlying assumptions that they made based on how they operate with other school districts throughout the state of Texas. And in essence, you know, kind of on their own accord, created secondary accounts on behalf of the high school. On the back end, based on the conversations that I had with their accountant, based on how the back end processing works at the vendor site, that also kind of contributed to some of the irregular invoicing patterns and some of the shipping dates and those type of anomalies that were raised by financial services. In the course of all of that, that was kind of the initial objective of the audit. Secondary objective of the audit was essentially to look at the resulting paper trail, or audit trail, if you will, to see if any actual violations had in fact occurred based on just actual activity. And what we did find was that there were three instances where purchases were transacted by coaching staff, and the resulting effect of those transactions, in a nutshell, basically ended up in lending the district's credit to those individuals to affect the purchase, and coupled with that was the ability for those individuals essentially to bypass the sales tax because those items were purchased under the district's name because the district is a tax-exempt entity. In the report, I've included some information relative to that. I believe I've also provided additional information that presents a transaction timeline. I do have additional documentation if the board desires to kind of review as well. And in addition, in the course of the report, I think there were a number of assumptions made, both on the vendor's part, in terms of how CISD wants to do business. I think those were invalid assumptions on the vendor's part. I think there was also some issues with maybe some assumptions being made on CISD's part in terms of the vendor understanding how to do business, coupled with, I guess what I call an insufficient understanding of procurement policy regulation. And so, putting all that together, I think going forward, because at the end of the day, we absolutely want to address the main issue, but going forward, we also want to look at some of the processes in terms of, okay, well, how did this happen and what can we do to prevent it from occurring again? I would absolutely urge additional training to make sure that we revisit procurement policy with, you know, CHS staff to make sure that, you know, everybody is fully aware of how these things happen, what's allowed, what's not allowed. And in addition, I think in the report, there was two pending matters. One is, what is the final status of the vendor with the district? The other being, relative to one of the instances that occurred, there was a purchase of a volleyball net, and that matter needs to be resolved with the third party that was involved in that particular instance. And so, based on that, That's the overview. I'm willing to answer any questions that you may have relative to the report that was provided.
Anybody have any questions for Ms. Hidalgo? I guess I have a question. On page 9 of 9 from CH regulation, there's a whole list of what they would call penalties when page 8 or page 7, the sales tax issue has happened. One of those is closing the vendor's account. Does that happen?
I can tell you we're not doing any more business with them.
Okay.
And then Martha can tell you as far as, and I'll tell you that other area school districts are having the same problems we're finding, and they're also deciding not to do business with them.
We have not processed any additional purchase orders. I was waiting for the final presentation and then definitely close and inactivate that vendor, if that was the direction that wanted to be taken.
And I guess Dr. Murphy, F on that list there as what's deemed appropriate by superintendent. Have you decided what kind of administrative action will be taken?
Well, I want to follow Steve's counsel on this, but yes, we know the direction that we want to go. We certainly want to send a message regarding these policies. We do appreciate, and I'm sure Mr. Fry can also share this, we do appreciate Diana's finding that there was no ill intent, no nefarious action, and I think that's very positive. We appreciate that. But at the same time, we do know mistakes were made that we need to clean up, and we will be addressing that administratively. And I certainly can share it later and close about that, but I can tell you that actions will be taken in respect of letting those employees know that we can't operate in that fashion and that will not be tolerated in the future.
Thank you, Dr. Murphy. Yes, sir.
Yeah, just by way of note, the issue with respect to the net would have been very resolved without any problems if that third party would have just donated the money, even though it was ordered by the school. If they donated the money to purchase that, there wouldn't have been any issue at all. So I don't see that as an ill intent. The net was donated to the district. I really don't see any malintent. It was just the way they went about doing it looks wrong, but I don't see any bad intent in that situation either. If they had just said, we're donating this money for the district to purchase it, would have been perfectly fine. Right, Diane?
And I also want to add that in specific to that particular matter, when we were conducting the audit, we double-checked with the vendor and with the third party. The third party claimed that they wrote a check, sent it to the vendor. The vendor claimed they still have yet to receive that payment. So as of this point, and correct me if I'm wrong, that particular invoice is unpaid.
We have made, in the last week, we have made attempts to communicate with the vendor and request that they go ahead and pay Team Express directly and with the sales tax. And we are in communication with Team Express as well so that the invoice will be directed to the individual
organization. Well, it can be either solved that way or have in the net issue if it was being donated to the district.
They'll then donate the net to the district.
But they could.
Which is fine. What they could have done is in this situation is, we're going to donate money for the district to purchase the net. Either way, it happens, it would have been fine. Or that they get billed for the net directly and then donate the net. I think the way it should have been done, you know, for and would have been perfectly fine is for that third party to say, I'm donating this money, the district can then order it on its own. And we would have saved the tax. They donated the money to us. We buy it. And not have to pay the tax either way. And I think that would be perfectly fine.
And if I may use the term ill intent, the other two situations on the taxes, you know, we do hundreds of thousands of dollars in purchasing athletics alone. And in both of these instances, because of the vendor not following their agreement with us as a vendor to make sure that they had a purchase order number, in both of these situations, when these coaches were talking with them, discussed with them the items that they would like to get quotes, and then magically we receive these coaching pullovers and some hats. And in both instances, these coaches said, oh, you know, where did we get, how come we got these? And, well, I thought you ordered them. And so on both occasions, they turned around and used their own personal funds to pay for it. So they didn't, as far as not paying taxes, it wasn't, I don't know at the time if they even got a bill that had taxes or just, but it was just a total. Until this all kind of came out, they didn't know what they hadn't paid as far as taxes. One of the coaches to date has gone back and dealt with them again and said, I want you to figure out the taxes and pay the taxes. The other one has called them and they can't figure out how to put tax back on something. I don't know. But it wasn't, and those as well, it wasn't ill intent. It really was the ineptitude of this company to do business the way we require them to do it that put some people in positions where they felt like, I've got this product, it's already, you know, it's they had stuff stitched on it, and so they purchased. So that's why the situation arose with those two as well.
Yep. If I might,
yes, sir.
The other issue too, I mean, I recall even in high school and some of the coaches would even purchase some of their stuff because they didn't have it in the budget. And so it's something that's being used. I mean, it's not a personal item that they're taking home to give away, or they're, you know, it's something that they're actually using for the season. Is that correct, or am I incorrect?
Yeah, it is. It's what you say is coaching gear, game day gear.
And
it's not formal wear that you wear out on the weekends.
And so, I mean, my thing is, I think we need to have better education on our part, and that's what I would recommend. Just on that, maybe we need to go back to the procurement procedures and discuss that with those individuals that actually do that. So that would be my recommendation.
If I may, I'd like to add, relative to that situation, in the course of conducting the audit, coaching staff did mention to me that, number one, part of the matter involves the way that this vendor does business. Okay, according to the vendor, 70% of the districts throughout the state of Texas do business in one of two ways. Okay, one is via purchase order, the other one is via an activity account. The activity account method bypasses all central receiving, purchasing, procurement, you know, invoicing mm-hmm. activities, and essentially that method of purchasing would allow, you know, any employee to bypass existing policy procedure, assuming that they had policies in place similar to what we have here. The other part that coaching staff communicated to me was that, right or wrong, I did not go and investigate, you know, this particular statement, but they also communicated to me that purchasing a product via, you know, the district means is a common activity throughout athletics. And so I think you take those two situations and it really kind of paints a particular culture of acceptance of operating this particular activity. And again, we did not find any intentional misconduct on the part of the employees involved. However, if they had had a much better understanding of CISD's procurement policy in those two sections, it would have been very, I guess it would have been very clear that it's okay if they make the purchase, it's just that they need to basically request the vendor to invoice them directly mm-hmm. instead of through the district. And secondly, to ensure that sales tax is charged. Because as a result of what happened, those are the two, you know, primary contributors to the resulting policy violations.
Sounds like we need some in-service training.
Well, and I want to tell you that as soon as this came up, it was going into Thanksgiving break and then mm-hmm. finalized going into the holiday vacation. When we came back on January 5th, I had all coaches and any sort of club sponsors come in, and we did a mid-year update. And specific to, we went over all of the procedures, but then we were specific to these items. You know, I don't think it's something that can be done enough, because we need to make sure that, you know, people are following procedures all the time and they need to be reminded. But we did do that, and I felt that the message was received loud and clear. that we have got to safeguard the district, and we can't count on businesses to operate from a perspective of that they're going to be in compliance with our rules, because they're out to make a buck. Yeah. And so that message was received loud and clear by our staff.
And if I may, I know that as a finance department, not only do we do new employee orientation where we cover purchasing guidelines, travel, and fundraising activities, but annually at the beginning of the year, we do have a finance academy where we do visit the campuses to give them training on those specific areas, and to include payroll. Through the fundraising trainings that we also give, we also cover the purchasing guidelines that we have in place. And so we do try to share that information as much as possible with the staff and at the campus level.
Yes.
The other thing that we might want to look at, looking at our policy, if let's say if there isn't any money in the budget and the coaches wanted to buy their jackets or something, then what they would have to do is follow the policy where they would have to donate that money. It's for district use, sort of like the person with the net. I mean, I don't have a problem with those options to the individual that donated the net. Either they could pay directly to Express, or they could donate that money, and we would see it under our board of directors donation. Or so I think we should provide that option too if it's going to be in that area.
What I would caution is that in the particular case of the net, based on the documentation that I was provided, it appears to have been the negotiation in lieu of a facilities use fee. And so what I would advise the district is that so long as, you know, the resulting outcome benefit, you know, is in the district's favor, you know, that's something that can definitely be considered. But specific to the case of the net, it definitely appears to have been a negotiator's arrangement. And we've got distinct policies that basically dictate, you know, if you're going to use a certain facility, you know, this is a charge for the first 4 hours, and then there's another charge for every hour after that. And so by all means, there needs to be that type of look at it as well.
I just want to make something really clear about that. It was, at least as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, it was already purchased and delivered. When I say purchased, that means it was run through their system, and so the product came to the school. The problem with that is that it was purchased without being paid for, and the only reason it was sent to us is because we're a school district and we have credit. So in order to fix it, I think that they need to pay directly to Team Express, and they're going to have to pay the tax for it. Yes, it's a mistake, but you know, it's a mistake. The only way we fix is by having it clearly documented that it was paid for by the individual or the group, and they paid the tax for it, and they're just donating the net back to us, and then we're done.
Okay. And just to provide the full
Thank
context,
you.
It was basically an after the fact purchase, because there was no purchase order issued by the district for the net. It was basically what the vendor calls a field order, which is basically a request for purchase, mm-hmm. but it's unofficial. It doesn't have the district stamp or insignia or anything like that on it. And on that action, the vendor then delivered the net and it was the district. And we do have the shipping documents to verify that the net was in fact received.
So we have the net?
We have the net.
Are they playing ball with them?
Yes, but I understand from the coach that there were some actual quality issues with the net as a result. And so there was attempts trying to get back in touch with the vendor to see if there could be a replacement. But, you know, that
and replace the net that hasn't been paid for.
Mm-hmm. It's always a problem, I guess. Thank you very much. Any other questions the board has? Thank you very much. We appreciate your diligence and very much hope to see the staff on board about this, that, you know, people are well informed, Dr. Murphy, on.
Yes, ma'am. Martha didn't give herself enough credit. She had a fundraising training for about 60 people here on Wednesday last week.
Thank you very much. Yes, I know that this is ongoing, but apparently it didn't go on to some.
And if I may, just in closing, I would like to thank the financial services staff for bringing it up to the district's attention. You know, these are things that if not escalated, yeah. They will fall under the rug and continue to occur. And to the high school administration and coaching staff's credit, I do also want to say that everyone that I met with was very much, you know, gave this full attention, bent over better to get me the documentation that I needed, and so, you know, very much, this was a definite priority for everybody involved, and so I want to kind of commend the employees as well.
That's good to hear and encouraging. Thank you very much, Ms. Hidalgo, and Ms. Aguirre, and Mr. Fry.
Item 6B, report of discussion and possible action regarding Tammy Sprague doing business as Golden Rule Fundraising. Mrs. Aguirre.
In your Friday packet, 2 weeks ago, I provided a memo regarding a fundraising activity with purchase of a product that had not been procured in the district's policies, guidelines provided. And so at this point, I am here requesting guidance and direction as to how we want to handle the invoice that is been submitted for payment for the product order.
Ms. Aguirre, can you give a little background on this? Is the butter braids?
Yes. This is a fundraising activity that has been held year after year, and basically at the high school, yes. What happened, or the way we came across this situation, was that the sponsor was delivering the product here at Central Office, had a mishap, and coincidentally, Mr. Gatlin, the purchasing agent, ran into the person and assisted. Went back to his office to approve purchase orders, and in that process, he noted that the product that was being delivered was what was actually a purchase order for approval in the queue. So he did bring it to my attention, and I said, well, and it was a Friday right before the Friday before the Thanksgiving holiday. So when he brought it to me, I thought, well, maybe it was a second order because probably we sold a lot of butter braids. And so at this point now, it's like 4:30 or so. I thought, we'll deal with it when we come back. We researched into the fundraising activity and what had been purchased, and come to find out that the purchase order had never been in place. However, the order was the product was ordered in late October and delivered, you know, within a couple of weeks of that time. We did communicate with the sponsor. The fundraising activity itself followed procedure. They submitted the request within time, and they took orders, and the sponsor said, well, we've always done it this way. But that's not, you know, as I explained to her, that's not the correct answer. And so I explained to her the process, and she said, well, I needed to do pre-orders. But these are the kind of issues that when we are doing fundraising training, we are very thorough in giving them details on how to handle these different situations so that they cover their bases in all aspects of the purchasing policy. And so at this point, we've got an invoice of over $1,000 for these butter braids that are now inactive.
Did that sponsor attend fundraising training?
Yes. In order to be a sponsor, they must attend the training. They do sign an acknowledgement form, which I also provided in that packet that I provided you all, where they say that they will follow the fundraising guidelines under regulation and also the procurement policy.
What is that?
Do you need a motion for the approval, since yes. It's an after effect? Okay, I make a motion that we approve the...
The butter braids.
The Golden Rule fundraising.
The gold, is it?
It's a,
the just a golden. I make a motion that we approve the after the fact purchase of Golden Rule fundraising.
Do I have a second?
I'll second the motion.
Very well, thank you. Yes, sir.
Martha, the appropriate thing to do in these situations when there's pre orders is one, to get it pre approved before they can take orders, right?
Right.
And now, at that pre approval process, is there any way for us to check that, in fact, because the only issue here, really, here I see is right now, I think it's after the fact, is one, we're not going to lose money. The problem is it wasn't sufficient percentage of profit that the district requires.
Well, that's another focus that, as we recap, that's where we noted that the profit margin was not met.
Okay, so But do we know these things when they submit it for approval before they take orders?
Well, when we do the training, what we explain to the sponsors is that they obviously have a required 45% profit margin. And so we guide them and inform them, if, you know, for example, if you're going to buy, sell T-shirts, and you know that each T-shirt's going to cost you $5, and what you need to do is make sure that you mark up the price up to at least 45%. What I do, you know, I said, for sake of, you know, making it easy math, I said go to 50%, go $10, and then you're not going to be short. And so we explain how they can mark up their pricing. We don't know what kind of arrangements they have with a vendor, but we do give them the guidance as to how to mark up prices in order to sell accordingly.
Well, and then that question I have is the profit margin the percentage of the cost or percentage of the sales price? Because it could be different.
Well, it's the cost to what they actually receive in sale price, yes.
Okay. All right. Because that doesn't say that. The district policy doesn't say that.
Under the regulation for fundraising?
Yeah, it says a 45% profit.
After you pay it.
Well, let's just give you an example. We buy something for $5, and we say we want to make a profit of 50%. Well, that's $7.50. If it's of the sale price, then we need to sell it at $10. Mm-hmm. But if it's 50% profit of the cost, mm-hmm. it's different.
Well, it's.
But I'm saying our policy doesn't say anything about it.
But the guidance that I'm requiring.
At least I don't know if it does, and I don't think it does. Does it, Diana? Did you?
I never pulled on. I just okay. wanted to find another one.
So it's, in other words.
Uh huh. I understand.
Did we also do we need to flesh that out in either change the policy or
clarify? Yeah.
We can certainly look at it and make that change.
And if it's the intent that they make 50% or 45% profit on the sale price, then we need to say so. Because otherwise, anybody could say, can have an argument that no, we've made our mm-hmm. 50% profit, it's $2.50 of the cost.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's not clear. Yes, I understand.
If I may, as I understand the agenda item, the board's direction is being asked relative to the after the fact purchase.
And
I just want to make sure that the board is understanding of two things. Number one, the after the fact purchase constitutes a violation of board policy. And so if the motion does pass, the board is essentially granting an exception to that policy. Number two, I would also refer to the board to consider the district goals relative to ensuring compliance with the procurement policy. And I just want to add that, and this is something that we've discussed many times, but it's part of the culture change that is going to continue to occur. And just want to make sure that the board is fully aware of that.
Yeah, I understand that there's several issues here. One is... If we are, how are we going to, in other words, how are we going to monitor that in fact, when they ask for pre-approval, that they're going to take orders? Don't we need to ask them what price are you going to sell them?
They do list it, and she wrote, and from seeing it, I provided it, they'll put 50% off. They will, you know, whether they calculate it or not, they do provide that information.
Do they just say 50% profit? But maybe what we should do is...
Dollar amount.
Or sometimes they'll put a dollar. It just depends, you know, they'll write. But I will pull that up.
Maybe what we can do is require them to put the percentage and the actual dollar amount, both.
Right.
So that we can double check that, because we don't want to be approving something that's not going to comply with our policy. They're taking orders, and then after the fact we find out that they didn't put in the right profit margin. So then we have that issue. And then we have the after-the-fact issue. Now, once they take the orders, then they submit it to you for the PO.
What they need to do is submit a PO. Like when they've contacted a vendor and they know what kind of transaction, you know, what kind of activity they want to hold, they will go ahead and project what they will be selling. This activity has been going on year after year after year. So,
but why do they need to project? Why can't we make it simple enough where we pre-approve the the activity. They take the orders, they come to you and say, now you can send, this is the amount we need to order.
Well, she took the order, she called the vendor, she placed the order, and then a month later, she submitted a PO.
Well, but and what I'm saying is, could she have, at the time she took the orders, submitted it to you, called the vendor, and order it at the same time?
Yes.
Is that the proper?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we can do that without having to say, require them to estimate what
right.
the order is going to be.
She can do that too.
Right. So this was something that they just completely forgot to do at the time they placed the order with the vendor. Come back to the for the PO.
Submit the PO.
Okay. They waited until they received the product.
Yes. Yeah.
So they were delivering.
They were delivering.
Yeah. Now, if, let's say, she comes to you with the order,
mm-hmm.
say, okay, this is we took these orders, we want a PO. You send the money to this vendor, the product doesn't get here.
Well, the money is not sent in. It's just the purchase order that's created and approved. The vendor receives the purchase order. If the vendor delivers the product, then there'll be invoicing follow, you know, an invoice
okay,
follow.
Okay, so they have to have received it first before
right.
shipping it. Right.
Right.
And how long does that take?
Well, it depends. I mean, if she's already communicated with the vendor and has made prior arrangements, the vendor knows that somewhere in there this is going to come her way.
Okay, so once the PO is approved through you all and you send it to the vendor, it doesn't matter then after that. They can just send the product direct.
Right.
Okay, and once they send the product, they communicate to you, pay it.
They go into the system at the campus level and they receive the product. They, you know, go through the process in the system to say we received 50 cases or whatever they
and then they report to you so you can pay it?
Then that automatically, when we receive an invoice, we go in through the accounts payable process. And one of the processes to pay is that we verify it's in the system. If they've already received it, then we just go ahead and pay.
Okay.
I just have a question that if she's done this year after year, how did we just figure it out?
Because, like I said, she happened to fall. What happens is that the vendor is not entering the correct date that she delivered. If you look at the invoice that was provided, she dated it December 1st. So she waited until the PO was cut, and then she dated it.
Mm-hmm.
However, the sponsor herself indicated that she received the product back in October. So when we don't have a difference in, see, vendors, they want to make business.
Oh, yeah.
And so they'll do whatever it is the sponsor or the person's wanting
yeah.
to buy. And so knowing the system, knowing how the districts work, you know, they say, okay, let me know when I need to invoice and then we'll go from there.
Mm-hmm.
But it so happens that I signed. She even says delivery date of product, December 1st. However, that's not correct because we know it was back in October. And I did provide a copy of that also.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion?
So tonight, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
So right now, the motion has been made. My question is, does the administration take action on this consequences after like reprimand or?
Well, the policy says, you know, that there should be some kind of administrative action, but more importantly, it says that because the transaction was an agreement between the sponsor and the vendor, that the district is not liable for payment.
Yeah.
So that would be the sponsor's liability, and that's how policy reads.
CH regulation, the references that the SIR has made in the previous agenda item, those are the consequences. It's basically the same regulation that you're talking about.
And with that, maybe we go with the last, let the superintendent deem what's necessary, or maybe Mr. Coronado wants to amend his motion.
I would just say, I mean, that's an administrative decision, and that's...
Okay.
Yeah, for us right now, we just have to decide whether we're going to approve
this okay.
after the fact, which is, and if we don't do it, obviously, it's going to result in an inequity, because then if we make the sponsor liable, she'll take the product that was sold, she's going to make a profit, and the district's not going to receive, or the activity fund is not going to receive any of that money.
Well, the funds have already been deposited.
I know that, but we could think. Mm-hmm. So we don't want that to happen mm-hmm. either. But I just want to see what kind of a check I'm on when it's pre-ordered, that we make sure that the profit margin is there and that it's from the sale price and not, and that somehow that is communicated to us, both in terms of what they say their percentage profit is going to be and what's the dollar amount of profit is going to be.
And we can, Dr. Murphy, if you would please take into consideration when doing what you deem to be appropriate, what Mr. Coronado's saying, that the policy is not clear.
Yeah, we certainly can look at the is it a regulation?
It's a regulation.
Mm-hmm. Regulation and
that due to the clarity, there's
not only the percentage but also the dollar amount. If it be on the sale or if it be on the
and have them report when they're asking for the approval to you guys.
Yeah.
Tell me what the percentage profit's going to be and the dollar amount profit per unit. That way,
yes, at approval. That, you know, you guys are the dollars and cents people, you know. 50% to teachers maybe isn't 50% to the finance department. I think that what Mr. Coronado is saying is when that 50% is discussed, do more than 50% make it a dollar amount. Is that correct, Mr. Coronado?
Yeah.
So everybody's clear on the dollar amount.
President, I can tell you that this the teacher in question has already been reprimanded formally for this. It's already occurred.
Okay. Then I guess we've got a motion and a second on the floor. Tony?
Mrs.
Cousins?
Yes. Mr. Cuervo?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Starr?
Yes.
Item C is employee recognition event on May 11, 2012. Dr. Murphy and Mrs. Zahida.
And were you all okay with the both of you, Ms. Rose and Ms. Mendoza? Were you all okay with the what you all did? Or?
Mrs. Searles and I went and talked to the people at Grace Gardens, and the only drawback that I see is that there's going to be a specific timeline and a number of employees. In other words, the capacity. So if, let's say we put a deadline and we've met capacity, then if someone else decides, which we've had in the past, I know, if someone decides that they want to go to the employee banquet, they can't. And if everybody knows that, I think we're good.
The original quote used the tent at Grace Gardens, which with a capacity of 900. The new quote, which President and Patsy worked out and appreciate it, does not use the tent, it uses the standing building, and so the capacity goes down to 630. So it's the difference between the 630 and the 900, but the savings is significant between the two.
It is very significant, and Mrs. Mendoza and I went over in detail with the people that maybe they could just like leave that pavilion, that tent up, and there was no, we're not leaving it up. Every day we take it down, we put it up, because it ruins our grass if we leave it up. Without naming names, I started reaching out today myself to see if we could get some sponsors to help us with the big pricing, in case we could get some extra money donated, that we might be able to open the door back to the 900 original people. And so possibly we could enter, and with that in mind, the tent goes up, the tent goes down. So if we got some extra money and we could afford the tent, they could put the tent up. It's not like we're holding a building, you know, out from them. So maybe we approve this, if this is our desire, you know, the lower number, with the caveat to them that you know, if we can scratch up some extra finances, maybe we expand it bigger, and in the meantime, begin selling our tickets and seeing what, you know, the water is in the district. Yes, Mr. Coronado.
Sure. What was the quote from where we used to have the employee banquet at the Marriott? Was it the Marriott?
They couldn't hold us. They could only take 400 people.
Was it only 400?
Yeah.
They're in your head up to 600 in the past there at the Marriott.
I think the racetrack could take 600.
I think it was 12,000.
Yeah, the casino says 600 overflow on the patio. I believe we could even do overflow in that building.
It was 18,000.
There are three locations that can host our size. Grace Gardens being the one that's in the district. Mr. Rodriguez had us look at Wet n' Wild. Wet n' Wild can host us easily. And then the third one is the casino, Sunland Park, that they do have capacity. Those are the three. Grace Gardens was the most expensive, although with Ms. Searles and Ms. Mendoza's work, that price has come down to where it is a bit more comparable, although Wet n' Wild is very inexpensive. Wet n' Wild is probably less than $10,000 total for everyone. With a meal included, whereas this one's over 20, still 23 at Grace Gardens.
What was the price on the windows?
Well, we didn't get prices, sir, when they said they couldn't take capacity. The only ones we got prices for were Grace Gardens, Wet n' Wild, and Sunland Park.
Sorry. The problem with the Sunland Park, if I remember, Tony, they couldn't accommodate us till June, right?
I believe so, yes.
Oh. But they have a great package because you can use their facility as long as you purchase the food from there.
There, yeah. Kind of like the Wyndham and the other hotels, right? Nice. They don't charge you for the room as long as you buy the food.
Mm-hmm. Yes, no, there's no doubt those are less expensive options. Absolutely. We just got the quotes from the ones, though, that said they had the capacity.
Does the did you consider the Cortez?
No, sir.
That's not big enough.
Didn't get into the Cortez.
When I look at this quote that we have now, the new one,
the $23,000.
Uh huh. We're gonna get. Am I reading correctly, Dr. Murphy? We're gonna get hors d'oeuvres. Everybody's gonna get hors d'oeuvres. No. Everybody's gonna get dessert. Everybody's going to get a meal, dessert, a DJ. I believe they have security. Is it? Oh.
Then there's a cash bar.
Okay.
And then the use of the entire facility other than the tent, which won't be there.
The one thing that they kept telling Mrs. Searles and I was that 6:30, there's no wiggle room. I mean, that's it.
They said that was just, I guess, from them doing it, you know, in their building that many times that there was, you couldn't fit anywhere.
Mrs. Searles kept saying, well, you know, it's going to be nice weather. You can open up, you know.
Yeah, can we go out and, you know, people be, mm-mm.
Yeah.
No.
I 6:30. People can go out there. But
what I'm saying is if we get, you know, everybody jumps in and says, yeah, we want to go, and we get 630 people like that. And we see that, God, we are going to definitely need more. I'm hoping, really, I had such a good response today from five different groups that they wanted to help out with this. I mean, I think there's a possibility that I could come back. The one person who seemed to want to be the most generous said they met on March the 5th. So I, you know, said, oh, so can you call me on March the 6th? And he indicated he would. So, for whatever that's worth, there, you know, there could be a little overflow.
And they want the contract because they might have somebody out.
Yes,
exactly.
They are,
it's a popular time.
They're breathing down our neck. They want it this weeks ago. Mm-hmm.
And they are asking, since they know that.
Is this on a Saturday?
It's
Friday
night.
Tony, will you repeat that?
She He knows that the board is discussing it this evening, and they did ask if we could let them know tomorrow.
Well, Madam Chair, my opinions for this year, guys, I think let's just go with the Grace Gardens for the 600. Next year, maybe we ought to take a look at other venues where we might be able to go up to, you know, a higher amount that's a little more reasonable. And maybe we should consider, I don't know, if we can, maybe we can look at the Camino de Ale. We can do more than 600 for sure in their main building. Civic Center.
Civic
Center for sure could do it.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Maybe even the Coliseum could do it. I mean,
it's kind of far.
It's a nice place. We're talking.
And possibly if we wanted to
save money so that the employees don't have to pay for their partner to go the extra money, might be worth considering.
And sir, I think that's an important point to state publicly. The plan would be that the employee would be able to come for free.
Precisely.
But that a guest would charge. Is there an amount that the board is interested in?
I think it was like $20.
We'll leave that. I think we can leave that up to administration when you figure out the cost.
At the end, it was all the way up to 35.
We might want to charge more since it'll inhibit some of the people. You know, the number will. Well, I think that's just psychology. Yeah. I mean, we only have 630 spots.
I think
we want to make sure they really want to come.
I'm really optimistic. I think that I think that we'll do fine with this number this year. And just, you know, when we do talk to the employees or let them know that there is a capacity and that if they do want to go, that they need to sign up early.
Right away.
I know that Mrs. Casares, Mrs. Gonzalez, and Mrs. Quintana know that in the past we used to have a deadline. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't sign up by April 30th, then you didn't go. You didn't have a ticket, you didn't go.
Yeah.
And it was handled through the campus secretaries, and it was a neat thing.
Unless you found a scalper.
Dr. Murphy.
There was.
I might be able to make it by my ticket.
Yeah. So, Dr. Murphy, do you hear Mrs. Mendoza truly is an expert in these ladies know. So if there's any questions on how to get the job done, I think you could call some board members.
If we charge $25, we'd recoup $7,500 only of the $23,000. So we wouldn't even be halfway at $25.
$25?
It wouldn't even be halfway. To get to halfway, we'd have to do, like Monica said, $30,
$35. At the end, I think that's how much they were charging. Well, at least 4 or 5 years ago.
That's going to be like $10,000.
Inflation.
17.
Is the feeling is we want to stay in the district? Is that
that's what the initial thought was from the board as far as our, and one of the reasons we haven't done the Cortez and these others was the initial thought was we wanted to stay in the district. Then when the quote came in so high at Grace Gardens, we kind of scrambled, and that's why we have just the three: the Sunland Park, Wet and Wild, and Grace Gardens.
I think the building is nice, but if my memory serves me correctly, when we did the gala there, that building smells bad.
Well, I'll tell them
like sewer, like really bad.
And it is true also, if we have 630 at the people capacity, it's going to be packed.
It'll rock.
It'll rock. Okay.
Canyon Tio rocks the valley. Yeah.
I'm already looking for a dress.
Yeah, we got to know this stuff so we can get some dresses, shoes, Dr. Murphy. There's planning to go on here.
Rachel knows what I mean.
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
Doc, does this include the price of all that? This includes a band or a DJ?
Yes.
A DJ.
DJ.
Oh, it does include
a DJ.
Not a band.
We get a DJ and
chicken. Can we see if Duty could do it for a discount?
It's... Oh, Duty. I can't believe it.
We always used to have a band.
You're right, we did.
Well, maybe we can have our mariachis slide on by for a while or something.
That's an idea. The DJ is a very nominal cost. We probably could look into a band as opposed to a DJ, and it probably wouldn't take the price up too much. We can,
maybe we can do both if we're at the band. Yeah. Expensive. Do a few hours of the band and a few hours of the disco guy.
Yeah.
DJ guy.
Because the DJ's fun.
The DJ's fun.
Yeah. Weren't you a DJ, Mr. Coronado?
Yes, were you? Sounds Unlimited.
Maybe you could take over. Do we have a motion?
I make a motion that we approve, or that that we go forward with an employee recognition banquet with the Grace Gardens contract
with the six, the lower
six
end.
6:30.
Before you vote, can I ask you a question? Would this, within the board's mind, this take the place of what we've done the last 2 years at the high school? This would replace that? So would we give out the service awards at Grace Gardens?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
And more. We like to get a lot of door prizes.
Okay.
Yeah, Gustavo knows.
I can tell you're smiling, Mr. Devaney.
Okay.
Patsy knows the whole.
Yeah, she. Mm-hmm. Okay, we've got a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
I forgot to amend it that Patsy will be the band coordinator.
The hostess.
The mostest.
The mostest.
Okay, Tony?
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana? Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searle?
Yes. I'm so excited, y'all. This is going to be great. I see smiling faces out there. Everybody's happy. Thank you, Dr. Murphy, for all the work that's gone in.
Thank you, Ms. Searles and Ms. Mendoza, for your excellent help. That was
great. Thank you, guys.
Actually, it was
kind of fun.
Tony that opened the door.
Yeah, Tony opened the door. We just went through.
You knocked hard.
We did. We're going to knock a little harder. Tony, will you take us to the next agenda item, please?
Item D, report with discussion and possible action regarding brokerage firms. Mrs. Aguirre.
Ms. Aguirre, I'll make a motion to approve the brokerage firm as presented by administration.
I'll second the motion.
And I just want, just real quick, if anybody else comes in, then you'll,
yes, we,
right now,
at least
we have somebody on board. Okay.
Yes, and I have communicated with an additional local Compass bank. Actually, we will be meeting not this Friday, but the following Friday, and then we're going to see what kind of investment tools they have for us.
Okay.
Thank you. Tony, pull the board.
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Parada?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana? Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searle?
Yes. And with that, we're at our next.
Item B, discussion of possible action regarding energy management RFQ. Mr. Armendariz, Mr. Gatlin.
Board President Searles, board members, Dr. Murphy. On your packet on page 258, I think you'll find out that what the committee was making, that made a recommendation after having gone through the items, all the RFQs.
Mr. Gatlin, you served as chair of that committee, right?
Yes, I
was. Can you tell us about the makeup of the committee and the voting membership?
Well, we had five people on the committee: Dr. Christopher Avila, Mr. David Fentel, Ms. Connie Parker, Ms. Adele Baylish, and Pablo Rubin as well. We convened. It took us about 4 hours, almost a little over 4 hours, to make a decision. The board was seated. They asked questions about what we've done in the past as far as energy management. Mr. Armendariz told them what we've done so far to comply and try to reduce our energy rates. And we've already done a lot of work on the lighting retrofits. We've done some roofing projects, also helped with the installation on the new roofing. And one of the questions was, didn't we already get a
proposal from someone, and I said, yes, CECO did come out, and they did do a review of our energy consumption.
I gave them the information. They asked whether we had gotten any other engineers already to do a report, and I told them that we're currently working with CECO, which is a government agency. I mean, an engineer that's being paid by the government to provide us with our energy studies, and we do have our reports. I think we just recently, not more than 2 weeks ago, we got our report on their recommendations as to what we should do to save energy. One of the things that they did point out was that they were instrumental in working with us on the lighting retrofits, of which, if you recall, some months ago, we had El Paso Electric come in and give us a check, kind of like an incentive check for having gone into the lighting first stage of the or phase of the lighting retrofit. So that's the information that they received from us.
Okay, and I guess what Ms. Searles, the last meeting, I guess we discussed that we were going to have them, and when was that, Dr. Murphy?
Well, contingent on y'all's decision tonight, we have already informed the vendors via email to be on standby for February 28th to come and give presentations in an interview format if the board desires to set aside the recommendation of administration and go ahead and move forward. They are ready to come. There is some conflict with that date. I've had two vendors concerned about the date. But the point is that if the board decides they want to continue, even though the recommendation on page 258 is otherwise, we will set up the interview presentation process and serve at the leisure of the board.
Okay. I guess Ms. Searles was talking about one of the dates she couldn't attend, but the March
5th meeting that we have, I think you've indicated it's like an hour long with TASB?
Hour and a half with TASB, and currently we were planning on doing the instruction meeting if the instruction committee was open to that. If you were going to add all the interviews on top of the hour and a half with TASB, that'd be a little rough.
What days?
Yeah.
The 29th, what were you saying?
I don't get home till the night of the 29th.
And
it's very tight. The schedule is just crazy right now.
How about we do it the 30th? Oh, I'm in May. Hold up. Come on. There's no 30th.
No.
The first?
We have CPAC that night.
How about these? What's the 7th?
7th is a Wednesday.
If you wouldn't mind doing back-to-back meetings, we could do the 7th. The 8th is currently the Finance Committee.
And CBAC meets in here?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then.
Is it
the 5th?
The 5th is the TASB meeting.
It's TASB. So the 7th?
The 7th is the night before the Finance Committee, so it would be back-to-back. We have several items already in line to come to the Finance Committee on the 8th.
Let's do the special board meeting on the 7th.
If the board chooses that direction, we could do that on the 7th. What about, and does the 7th, TASBO, are we okay on TASBO? Were you guys back by then?
We'll be back the 29th.
Okay.
So that's the 5th, the 7th, and the 8th.
Yeah, it would be three meetings that week.
I see everybody nodding around.
I do have some questions, though. Of the IPR, and yeah, and the committee's recommendation. Was it CECO that's doing this?
Yes,
engineering, right?
And they do it at no charge to the district.
And no charge to the
district conservation office.
Right. Now, they obviously have not been I guess, doing an evaluation of our PK through 8, since we don't have it.
Not to deal with those.
Now, what is the committee's recommendation with respect to that issue? Is that discussed? In other words, should we go out for services for that? Or
no, I think they, I don't think that came into the discussion. It was mostly the RFQ, because they were going through the RFQs themselves.
Uh-huh.
And the question came up based on just energy savings.
Just
what they could
period.
Do and what they're offered.
Period.
In general.
I think one of the things that came up there was the discussion that Carl Daniel, our CMR, and Ernesto would engineer the energy savings as they move forward there.
There was some redundancy.
That's there. Right. They did talk about that. Yeah. Now that I'm glad you refreshed my memory. I think one of the members brought that up, and they asked, "Well, aren't we hiring engineers to take care of this?" And I went through the process with them about what would be done at the pre-K through 8. Yes. I'm sorry. I just thought I was trying to put 3K in as one of the items of discussion. It just came up,
okay.
And we provided that information. We said yes. Typically, the engineer that's being brought in by Carl Daniel is LEED certified. Carl Daniel himself is LEED certified. Their engineers are going to provide energy savings recommendations. The contractor himself, well, depending on what the decision is to which way to go on the CMR, one of the requests is that they have LEED certified people also in order to enhance the design. On my end, I'm looking at that portion with respect to CECO's recommendations, and then CECO is ready to provide specifications and recommendations themselves at no cost to us.
All right, with respect to the entire district?
With respect to the entire district, anything that has to do with the district.
Okay.
All
right,
some of the overriding concerns were the payback cost. It'll be multiple years before we realize the savings beyond what we would pay out in the energy management RFQ.
Yes, they asked about payback on this, I think we have some people here present that are proposing, and one of the items that is almost a quick turnaround, quick payback is lighting retrofits. It's lighting. That's where you get like an almost immediate payback. We're at the tail end of that. The other items that would involve, that were that would help us also is not necessarily the introduction of the HVAC system, because what that does is that really is going to increase our costs. But the selection process of what type of units, energy efficient units and all that's one of the things. But basically, that's what they were asking. What is the big, quick turnaround? And I pointed out that it was the lighting retrofits, which is why the district chose to go that route, if you recall, about eight months to a year ago, when I brought that in. And that's largely due to CECO being involved in this.
And I do remember in the pre-bid meeting that we held before the bid came out, first of all, they asked for us to give them a little bit more time to prepare a more comprehensive proposal. So we went ahead and extended the bid an extra 2 weeks. And we did. They did ask questions of what we've done already to make our district more energy efficient. And Mr. Armendariz told them that. And there were some concerns from them, too, whether or not there was going to be profitable for them to even enter into it. So that question was brought up by a couple of the vendors.
Madam Chair,
yes, sir.
About it, too. If we've already done a lot of the work, is it going to be profitable for them also?
And I think one of my major concerns, especially since we do have a large portion and and the budget. My main concern is we're looking at putting in refrigerated systems, which are going to increase the cost of, and it's going to hurt our M&Os. So what I want to look at is how can we mitigate those costs so that way we could have actual savings and not hurt our M&O, because then that's where we won't have money for technology or teachers if there really increases, especially the way energy is going right now. So my first concern was to make sure we had somebody, and we talked about it a while back on the committee, was to have some communication before we had fully the architect on the design phase, so that way we could at least not do it twice on some stuff, but actually look at it district-wide, possibly seeing where's the best way, and having the professionals in that area to actually see where we could save money in the long term, because at the end of the day, it's going to hurt our maintenance and operation budget, and that's the major concern I have. So.
You're correct. At the end of the day, no matter what direction we take, it's going to be an increase if we're going to refrigerate our schools. It just goes without saying. There's nothing we can do about that. There's going to be, you know, when you're talking about evap cooling as compared to refrigeration, there is going to be an increase. It's trying to lower that increase. I think that's what you're referring to. And you're right. Those are items that we need to look at.
Well, it would be nice if we didn't have an increase, unless there's technology out there that would provide that. But I'm not a professional on that, and I want somebody that is a professional in that area, so that way we could try to lower that cost as much as possible.
And that's where CECO would have stepped in. That's where they've given us their report. This is what it's done now. Their next step is to, okay, this is how you should approach it.
On reports, right?
On reports. And they've actually been here to our campuses. They've done their research and went through every campus, including the high school, have the recommendations. There's a report that was given to us that, like I said, we received 2 weeks ago. And off of that report comes in the next step. They're already telling us, okay, the next step is we step in and start telling you how you can minimize your costs when you go whatever direction you have. Also, they're prepared to tell us whether HVAC units is the way to go, or whether we go through another, because there's different methods of cooling our schools, and that's what they're prepared to do.
Okay, that's all I have.
Also, that there's going to be savings in the water usage. We're going to reduce our water usage because of that. We're also going to reduce our maintenance. We're not going to be up there scrubbing coolers and replacing motors and replacing pumps. So, I mean, there's a lot of factors that have to be figured into to establish the savings, the true savings.
Mm-hmm. So the seventh.
Okay. So, you know, so the question is, do we need a third party?
The seventh.
To do this, because Armando, your point about you want to save money for computers, if we hire a third party, you're cutting into that money.
Not necessarily. I mean, we don't know. I don't know. I just want to make sure that we're making that choice the best we can. And so my thing is, let's see what there is to offer, and then we can make that decision at that point. But if we don't even, you know, see, then how can we make a solid decision on whether we want to or not?
And what I'm hearing is March the 7th for a meeting date. And Dr. Murphy, can the people come?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I did have one vendor that absolutely could not come on February 28th. I don't know if that will occur on March 7th.
Okay.
But we certainly tomorrow morning. And I put all on notice that tomorrow morning we will be sending an official email regarding the board's decision tonight. And if March 7th at 6 o'clock is what the board desires, then we certainly will move forward with that. We are concerned. Administration has made a recommendation that we not do this. And we just hope that the board takes that into consideration.
And we did include another facet in the proposal I put in there. Would the firm agree to a more or less comprehensive approach to the energy savings, where they might want to just come in and say, you know what, instead of doing the full-blown comprehensive contract, we just come in and give you advice on how to install the building management system or pump controllers or different kind of thermostat modifications as far as controlling them remotely, so we can save money energy there. So. And all the vendors did check yes on the compliance, and they did agree to that. So they all agree to either the less comprehensive policy.
And then depending on that point, if we do get somebody on board, then administration has that ability to question everything and say, okay, what is the best savings for our budget? Sure. And so,
especially on the new pre-K through 8, I'm sure our architect would need like a second set of eyes on that too. So.
Okay, Dr. Murphy, we'll have a meeting on March the 7th. I'm board's
all. Steve, does there need to be a motion?
I think direction.
Just direction to go ahead and schedule interviews?
Yeah, March 7th.
Absolutely. If that's the board's wish, we'll do it.
Okay, and that brings us, Tony, to executive session, please.
Actually, just one more item.
Oh, there is. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Avendaris, on page 258 and number 2. It says there on the second paragraph, it says knowing that there's an evaluation already completed. Is that the one we see from?
That's C. That's the one. That's from C.
Okay. We can't have copies of it?
Oh, definitely. In fact, like I said, we just received it.
Is that 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, about 2 weeks ago we received it while this was going on. And I know I sent copies to I think I sent you a copy. I sent copies to the superintendent, and we're going through it ourselves as before we bring it in as a presentation. But because of this item coming into the picture, we didn't have time to put it into.
We can put it in Friday back this week.
Yes, sir, Mr. Cornell.
Mr. Armandani, with respect to the evaluation by CECO, did they make recommendation with respect to energy management system, like what we want at the high school?
They did. They have a series of recommendations. Perfect example is, you know, right now if we go to back, if we stay back cooling, we save money. But they're saying, okay, you're already saving money by staying back cooling. Thing is that you're also spending money and having to replace those evap coolers because your water is already hard. Yes. And they made a series of recommendations, and then what they say in the final report and at the end of the report is that whichever direction you want us to go, we'll take it, and then we'll do an extensive recommendation to the district.
Okay. Another one of the issues we have that I've noticed in some of the campuses where we've added on to campuses like Damian, where we've actually added the new wings, they actually put refrigerated air into those new wings. So we've got two systems fighting each other. You've got the Raptor coolers that are pumping moisture into the buildings and the refrigerated air trying to pump it out, and you're freezing up coals and all that. So one way or another, we've got to get that item fixed.
Yeah, in fact, in our evaluation, they're also pointing out some of the areas such as that, and especially at the high school, as to what's happening to those, you know, what we experience with mm-hmm. pumps and all that. It says right now, you know, these are the things that you have to do immediately in order to get the school back on track.
All right.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Item F, GIS update, discussion, and possible action. Ms. Brigham? School attendance boundaries,
And what I'd like to bring your attention to the implementing of the GIS, okay? And what I am recommending for the implementation of GIS is that, you know, it's about $14,700 all total. And I do think we can finance that through the E-rate reimbursement fund, okay? And for the contracting services under the 199.
Very good.
So, but then I also wanted to give you the timeline so that you guys can that you can look at that. And what are the timeline I'm projecting is to purchase the printer and the computer by March 2012, which is in next month, and create a contact for this consultant pending your approval at the end of this month, which is the next week or so. And then the scope of work will be set for the new school registration, which is May or June. So, and then the update street listing maps for boundaries for each school will be June and July. So what we're looking at is mainly implementation for the summer and for new registration. So that's what I'm proposing to the board. And I do think since we got this one, we did just get, I did meet with Kathy Ellis, last week. And we did put some funding issues, and I do believe some of those budget amendments might have been approved tonight. So I will get back with her to make sure all these, I can proceed with the contract with myself and purchase the equipment that's needed, pending your approval.
And you'll keep us updated as the timeline goes along and the checkoffs happen?
As far as all these timelines, what I think you would like to do is you'd like to see probably a presentation of the GIS, probably, and I'd say that would be the end of May, beginning of June, and then we can show you what we have had so far, at least what we could do. And then, but we, this is a product that we're going to have to continue to work on, as you know, and we'll be working closely with Mr. Amandatis's, and then with Gustavo Rivellis as far as getting the updated contracts from the city as far as plot of lands. So I don't exactly know what the time frame is exactly. I think they have to have street names before we know about them on the GIS. But I could be wrong. Again, it's going to be a learning experience for me also. So, but I would think absolutely, or we could do it before if you'd want, that we could give you an update. But absolutely, I think it would be nice to have what I was putting in for new school registration, because it's the end of May, at least have an updated listing of all the streets that go to each campus, which is a chore in itself, as you know. So if that's what I'm saying is limited is my goal for that. But as far as the equipment and things, we can purchase that, and then we can get moving on this.
That's exciting.
Do you have any questions?
Any questions from anyone?
Good luck.
Yeah. This sounds like Mission to Mars.
Well, I'll let you know when they
let me know if they left that little space station up there.
No, I think it will be, the school resources personnel are looking forward to doing it.
Sure.
So, I mean, they're all, you know, it's going to be, we're going to learn together.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
It'll be interesting.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Brigham.
Item 7 is executive session, and the time is now 7:46 p.m., and the meeting is to be closed for consultation with attorney for discussion of personnel matters, discussion of the alignment of certain multi-year employment contracts, discussion of renewal of certain administrator professional employee contracts, and to hear a recommendation for program compliance director under Texas Government Code, sections 551071 and 551074.
Thank you very much, Tony.